Good to see everybody today. Take your Bibles and open to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I read the gospel this week, and I thought, is there another gospel I can read? Another gospel passage. And you'll kind of find out as I get into this, I decided to stay with this gospel reading. You'll notice my sermon title, which is, everybody check that out or catch that? I don't have a bulletin, I can't remember. He kindled the fire. Wait, what? Now, we need to understand something, is that in Luke is very, I think this is kind of a centerpiece of the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 9, you know, kind of after this, they went through the Samaritans, the Transfiguration, and they went to the Samaritan village, and, you know, there was all kinds of things that happened there. And it says at the end of that passage that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. So in this gospel, in Luke's gospel, he's centering in on the fact that the purpose of Jesus' coming was to accomplish something in Jerusalem before his departure. That's what Moses and Elijah spoke with him about on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he set his face toward Jerusalem. Now, how many of you, just take a quick inventory right here. How many of you, when you set your mind on something, get frustrated when stuff distracts you? Anybody, you know, I've got to get ready, and I've got to go here, and I've got to be there by such and such a time, and everything comes in. And finally, let's be honest, if we're going to be honest, please let's be honest, every once in a while we'll say, will you stop it? Now, looking at your heads shaking, there's a few of you that struggle with that. Because when we set our face to do something, when we are determined to do something, we can't be sidetracked. And in Jesus' life, when he set his face to go to Jerusalem, there were all kinds of things that would come along to try to distract him, to try to pull him away, to try to keep him from going in there. I take too much time to go through some of those. But he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So when he begins to do that, his tone changes. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. When you read the Gospels, his tone changes. Things like, Master, I'll go wherever you want to go. Well, you know, he who puts the hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. That's kind of stern, but those are the words of Jesus. Well, let me go bury my father. Now, I always have to qualify this. His father was probably still alive. He just wanted to wait around until his father died. In other words, he's saying, when my dad dies, I'm going to come follow you, Jesus, whenever that is. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Sounds kind of harsh, right? So Jesus, in this Luke 12 passage, says some things that are kind of harsh in, you know, it's not out of the character of Jesus, but we've got to hear them within the understanding that he is going to accomplish something. And he set out to do that. All right? So we're going to look at what he said, and then I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about how to look at that. All right? Y'all ready? Okay. Look at Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 49. I came to kindle a fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it's accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. When the angels announced his birth, did they use any kind of phraseology like peace on earth, goodwill to men? Yeah, right, you've heard that. The Old Testament calls the Messiah Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When Jesus, the first words Jesus said when he rose from the grave, when he appeared to people, was, "Peace be with you." So, what's he saying here? He's saying that, well, let's look at that in just a second. Let's read on. From now on. Well, let's just wait. Let's just wait. We'll return to that in a little bit. Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Did he come to bring peace? Yes, he did. But he also knew that when people began to follow his teachings and believe in him, there would be division. There would be those who would say, "Yes, I believe," and those who wouldn't. So we have to understand that's the context that he's saying here. He's saying, look, guys, he's saying, I wish there was fire on earth. I want to kindle. We'll get back to that in a second. I have a baptism of fire, a baptism of suffering. I'm in anguish over. I wish it was over. And I want you to understand that when I do this, there are going to be people who are not going to agree. There are going to be people on two sides of this story. Those who believe, those who are for, and those who are against. There'll be, and he goes on and talks about this, there'll be two against three in a family. Three against two. Mothers against daughter-in-laws. Daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws. I mean, the gospel of Jesus is difficult for people to all agree on. Would you agree with that? And that's why he is confronting this and saying this, because this is all heavy on his heart. He is about, now let me jump ahead. He is about to go in to Jerusalem. He will be accused, innocent accused. He will be tried, found guilty. He will be whipped, a crown of thorns put on his head. He will be nailed to a cross. They will raise that cross. And in a period of 9 hours, he would go through the most agonizing death possible. They would take him down off the cross, and they would put him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, I am about to go through a difficult time, and I'm not going to have anything dissuade me from that. And I want you to understand, now let's get back to this fire thing. This is part of the reason I didn't want to cover this, okay? Because none of us like what we're going to talk about here. Fire. Now let me say, first of all, the word fire in Scripture is used in many different ways. There is this concept of eternal judgment, all right? There is a time when God is going to deal with all of the rebellion and the unbelief and all of the stuff that's going on in our world. There's a time God's going to deal with that, but he's going to deal with that in a purifying way. Okay, get your Bibles out, because we're going to have to. You're going to have to follow me on this, because this is one of those that some of the things I'm going to say, you're going to go, huh? But I want you to see it here. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I want to try to stick a little closer to my notes, because if I get off topic here, I may miss something that we need to hear. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, who does deal with this fire issue, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, look down at verse 7. Well, let's just go back to verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody been through any trials? Any difficulties? Any things or situations that you go through that you have to confront the reality that there may be something in your life that needs to change? Anybody there? Okay. And what's he call that? Verse 7. So that the testing of the genuineness of your faith, for more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. All right? Now let's look over in 2 Peter, his second letter, to chapter 3, verse 7. There's a whole section here that we could spend time on, but I'm not today. He's talking about let's do this, go back up to verse 5. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens, 2 Peter 3, by the way, verse 5, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And by that means, the world that existed then was deluged with water and perished. By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, I'm going to say something real quick, that this is one of those things that I wish I had a whole class to elaborate on this. But I'm trying to just share a little bit of what this fire is about. Because there's two kinds of fires we're going to talk about today. There is the refining fire that happens in our life through testing, through maybe difficulties, through maybe not even difficulties, but that conviction of the Holy Spirit. All right? That's the testing by fire. We'll talk about another passage in just a second. But I also believe there's a time in which when Jesus comes back, we who are alive will be caught up together with him. The earth will be refined by fire. There will be a new heavens and a new earth, and we'll come back down and hang out with Jesus for all of eternity. The old that has been corrupted by the fall will be renewed and refined and purified, and everything's going to be like it was back in the very good garden. Amen? Now, that's a whole lesson in itself. But we're not going to dwell there. The fire that you all want to know about is what goes on in my life on a regular basis. Because Jesus is saying there is a fire that he's going to kindle, and he wished that it was kindled at that point. Now, he is ultimately talking about the baptism he's going to go through. All right? Like, you all remember this passage. It's back in Mark where this is kind of a funny story, but where James and John's mom comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, man, I got something I want you to do for my boys. You know, can you, when you come in your kingdom, can you let them sit on the right and the left in your kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Can you be," I love this, I mean, think about this, what we just read in Luke. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? "Oh, yeah, we can do that." "Well, yeah, you probably will, but that's not mine to give." You see, this baptism of fire that Jesus was going through was to redeem humanity, and he went through the fire for us so that we don't have to go through that other fire. Are you with me? Thanks be unto God. All right? That, and this is the song that they just sang at the offertory. Do you feel like the world is broken? We do. Well, how's that going to happen? How's that going to be fixed? Jesus is going to take care of it. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We will. We will. But there's another fire that burns. And it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. And it's the fire that happens in our lives, in my life, in your life, when the Word of God lights a fire in us. All right? Jeremiah says this. This Jeremiah 23 passage, I think, is so interesting because God says, I won't read it to you, but God says, "Where do you think I'm at? You've got all these prophets. that a prophet. All this, oh, I've dreamed a dream. Let me tell you my dream. And the dream's a lie. My word is fire that burns away those lies. So his word is a fire. So what's the fire that happens in our lives? It's to burn away the chaff of the self, the flesh, and all of that stuff that keeps me from living the life of Christ. Now, this is why I wanted to preach some other good news. But yet, this is good news. Because what God is doing is he's doing a work, call it fire, in our lives to burn away the chaff of the old life. Now, he does that through the Spirit and through the Word. Let me ask you this question. Has any of you ever, as you read a scripture, it hit you, and something in your mind began to think, man, I didn't know that was the case. Maybe I need to do something a little different. Maybe I need to make some change. Anybody ever done that? Please tell me yes. Okay, because I'm a little concerned if you haven't. Okay? That the Word and the Spirit come along and signify something that is not, that is amiss in your life and something that needs to be changed. Does anybody know what happened right there? Fire. That's the fire of the Word. That's the fire of the Spirit. Remember John the Baptist saying, he's coming and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what he's talking about. He's going to come and he's going to purify. He's going to come and he's going to make things right. He's going to show you areas in your life that need to change. And sometimes that is painful and difficult. And the metaphor that Jesus used is fire. All right? Are you tracking with me? Okay, let's go to another passage. I have left my notes, but I think we're okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is one of the most we don't read this chapter a lot. First Corinthians chapter 3, let's pick it up about verse 10, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, this is Paul writing the Corinthian church, and he says, according to the, which by the way, the Corinthian church had issues that he was trying to address through the scriptures. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each of you, each one, take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everybody got that? The gospel, your faith in Jesus, has laid a foundation. Now you are building on that. The teachers in your life are building upon that. Your devotions, your quiet time, it's building on that foundation. And he says, take care how you build on it at the end of verse 10. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. Why? Because it's built with gold, silver, and precious stones. But if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Stop right there. Which is what? The wood, hay, and stubble. Right? It's burned up. Now, we can't stop there. We have to read the last verse. He himself will be saved, but only as one passing through the fire. Jesus, at one point in the gospel, said, we all are salted with fire. Now, what's that mean? That means, as we have come to Christ, foundation has been laid in our lives, we are building upon that. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God will test those things test those, refine them, so that we can know that we are building with gold, precious stones, and silver. Amen? Not wood, hay, and stubble. And so there is this constant conviction. Jesus saw the world going crazy, not just as a whole, but in individual lives. That's why he says, I've come to kindle a fire, and I want that fire kindled right now. I want the purification process to start in the lives of the people right now. That's all he's saying. Now, there's a real good illustration that maybe you ought to save for closing, but I'm going to do it right now. How many of you know I've said, I've heard it a lot, I've read it a lot, early church fathers spoke about it, but the problem the disciples had is when Jesus talked about being king, they assumed he was going to go whip up Rome, he was going to make Israel the king of the world, and he was going to be the king of the world, Israel's going to be the world leader, and they were going to rule and reign the world under God. And that's what Jesus came to do, to defeat Rome and to wipe them out. So if they're hearing that, thinking that, feeling that, talking about that, and Jesus comes along and says, boy, I'm ready to kindle a fire. How about you? Well, yeah. Let's go. I got this baptism. Everybody ready? Yeah, I'm ready. You think I'm coming to bring? No, I'm coming to bring division. How do you think they heard that? They went to buy swords at the pawn shop. They got everything ready. They were getting ready to go. But that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus meant, I want to purify your life. Okay? Please be with me. Stay with me here. Because sometimes the things we think about what God's doing or who God is may not be right. And we have to have that burned out of our lives if we can continue this metaphor. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you like a fire? I'll be honest, I like a fire. I like a fire. I have a fireplace. I like my fire out in my backyard occasionally, you know, all contained, everything good. Go camping, go hiking, build a little fire, you know, keep warm. Fire can be a good thing, right? Fire can also hurt, right? What's the difference? The difference is, and I know I'm stretching it a lot, but the difference is in our attitudes, you know? I'm not going to build a fire to burn myself, but I'm going to build a fire to keep warm. I'm going to build a fire to protect me. I'm going to build a fire to give me light. I'm going to build a fire to feel comfort in, to feel presence in, to feel safe. When the fire of God through the Word and the Holy Spirit burns in our lives to burn away the wood, hay, and stubble, it needs to be a warming, loving, protecting, purifying, it's going to be okay fire. But if our attitude is, he's not going to tell me anything, then it's going to be painful. Okay? I don't know why this crossed my mind, and maybe I should just shut up. Maybe I should not give this. But how many of you have ever, and I could borrow Tom again, but I'm not going to. How many of you ever have watched or have seen a parent, you know, say, take a child to move them away from, you know, to just grab them by the shoulder and kind of walk them away from a difficult situation? You know, come on, Jimmy, let's go. Come on, Jimmy, let's go. Come on. How many of you have seen that? That's not bad, right? That's kind of like, that's cool. That's protecting. Yeah, that's, but how many of you also know that some of the kids are disobedient? And when I say kids here, I'm not talking about the ones that were up here. All of us. Where, you know, the Holy Spirit takes you by the ear and goes, come on, get out of there. Come on. That's not real pleasant, but it's needed, maybe. That's why it talks about if they need it in that one passage I read, if it's needed. And I love that picture. You know, you've heard me teach on this before. I've heard this, and I'm sorry if this is getting old, but anybody ever watch the Roadrunner and Coyote cartoons? Yeah, yeah. Anybody happen to know whenever the coyote tries to get the Roadrunner and it all fails, and there's like a fireball? Anybody happen to know what it looks like for the coyote to still be alive yet burnt? I believe when we get to heaven, there are going to be people who are going to look like they've been through the fire. You know, but God's going to purify it. God wants to purify it. God wants to purify our lives. Amen. He wants to do a work to keep us safe, to protect us, to give us that security, to give us that purpose, to give us that, and sometimes to do that, he's got to burn out anything that does not come from the love of God or flows from Him. And to do that, the Word and the Spirit work, and sometimes He takes you by the ear and gets you out of there. All right? You understand what I'm saying? But that kind of fire is the kind that can warm us. The kind that can make us feel protected, that can burn away some stuff, but I'm better for it. You know? It's burning away all of that stuff to reveal the gold, the precious stones, and the silver. Amen? And I would rather have that kind of fire right now than have the other kind of fire that Peter talks about. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's dealing with people. He's going through this baptism of suffering, this baptism of fire for us to redeem us. And He wants those impacts and those effects to come to our lives so that we can see the light. The darkness will not sniff it out. We can see the light. We can walk in the light. We can have the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together to purify, to refine, to make us more like Jesus. Amen. And that's all he's talking about, but there's an interesting way he closes this time. Go back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I think this is really interesting. Verse 54. He's talking about this refining that's taken place. And he also said to the crowds, verse 54, when you see a cloud rising in the west, now, in Galilee and Jerusalem, all the weather comes from the Mediterranean Ocean, comes from the west. When you see a cloud coming from the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, everything to the south of Galilee and Jerusalem was desert. A wind blew across the desert. Scorching heat was coming, and it happens, Jesus says. Good. Then he says, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present time. What's Jesus saying? He's saying back to, I'm going to kindle the fire and I wish it was started. You can't understand the times. You're not understanding the times if you don't understand that it's time to be serious about my life with Christ. There's all kinds of stuff that might be coming, is coming, we've gone through, we've dealt with, we're living through, and it is time to let the fire purify us so that we are secure and safe and warmed by the presence of Jesus, no matter what happens. Amen? That's what he's teaching us today. Fire, not a pleasant thing, unless you understand its purpose.